All right, Brother Bruce Scott, hit us with the Bible verse. Brother Bruce. Amen, Brother Bruce.
Praise be Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Now and forever.
Yeah, just a whole bunch of things Richard's talking about are right here in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God that is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that invoke the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in every place of theirs and ours, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that nothing is wanting to you in any grace, waiting for the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also will confirm you unto the end, without crime, in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a real powerful one here. 1:10.
Second coming right there.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no schisms among you, but that you perfect, that you be perfect in the same mind and in the same judgment.
Oh, that's a powerhouse. Yeah, is that not the one, church?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that not the one,
that's
church?
That's like using an angel. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 1:10, yeah. Is it? 1 Corinthians? Or
what is it, Bruce? What's the verse that you just read?
1:10.
1 Corinthians 1:10.
Yeah,
that is powerful. Yeah. How could you have 20,000 different yeah. churches teaching different things? And what's the definition of schism? By their own definition, they're separated.
Yeah.
Even the schismatic churches, you got the Russian, you got the Greek, you got the Anglican, and they're all schism. They're not united.
No.
And they teach different things. I mean, it's common sense. Yeah. Logic says you can't have that. You're going to have chaos. There can't be one church. All these verses are staring these guys right in the eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I look at when I hear these people? Rebellion.
Yeah.
Rebellion. You know what it is? They all want to be their own God. They want to start their own, they want to be their own God. And they don't really want no one telling them what to do, but their own ideas, their own, and see, even, you know what's amazing about all these groups? Not one of them has a supreme head of the church, not even the Orthodox.
Yeah.
They have a senate of people. They all get together and like vote, like democracy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not one of them has any supreme ruler. Not like we have,
yeah.
Like the Pope and infallible. They don't have it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, they, you know, the Church of England, you know, you got this, the king and the queen's president, but they don't really have any power. Not infallible, not like the Pope does. They don't want anything like that, you know, and papal infallibility is what they're really against.
Yeah.
Think about it. Without papal infallibility, the first thing you want to do when you debate any Protestant, I don't care who he is, just ask him, are you infallible? He'll say, no. Is your pastor infallible? No. Is your church leader infallible? No. Then why should I listen to anything you're about to say? Because it could all be false. What do you mean? You just told me none of you guys are infallible. Why am I listening to you even? Why? Everything you say could be false. That's it. Done. Done. If it doesn't see that, then why are you going to listen to the guy? Let him talk, maybe, and exasperate his lungs for about 20 minutes and say, it's all bullshit! He's going to go, what? Well, I don't know if it, according to you, it's not true. You don't know. What you just said could be all bullshit. All of it could be. No, I didn't say that. Yeah. Oh, you're infallible then. So what you said is infallible? No, it's not infallible. So then it could be false. You just wasted 20 minutes of my time, you jackass.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to waste your time. I'm going to tell you. Absolutely what it means, and I'm not going to waste your time, mm-hmm. infallibly. It's crazy. They're like philosophers. Think about it.
Exactly.
They come up with their own opinion week to week, and they do. They split off into another philosophy,
yeah.
into another church, and they disagree with their other church. Just form another church. Because you think women now could be independent. They don't have to be submissive to their husbands, so start another church.
What gets me is how all these passages that we read showing that we have one church and they have, they ignore. They just totally ignore them.
No,
pretend like, that they're not even there.
You know, it's like bold-faced lie. They're as bad as the Jews.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're as bad as the Jews when they don't see Christ in the Old Testament. They're as bad as somebody who looks at the evidence on 9/11
yeah.
in the Holocaust. We show them all the 9/11 evidence about everything.
Yeah.
And they're done. And they go, I still think the plane knocked it down. It wasn't done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do with someone like that? That's why I say, don't try to be debating these people, okay? We don't debate nobody.
No.
We teach people, and if they want to comment, You can comment. I say you need to believe in Catholic Jesus to be saved. Listen to what I said. You don't like it? Refute me in writing or something. Do your own lecture. I don't debate you. I know what I said is true. You, the listener, you don't. This is not up for... Did you start debating people a lot? You're lowering yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're going to their arena, and it's a vanity thing. You know, oh, I debated him. And the other guy, even if you beat the crap out of him in the debate, he's not going to admit it. Mm-hmm. He's a liar. No. He's going to say, oh, I defeated Rich. I got him. You know, I conquered. I debated all these top bugs. I nailed every one of them. Oh, then you look at the debate, the guy got his ass kicked. Yeah. So they're liars. You waste your time. It's vanity, it's arrogance. We got the truth. If I showed you something that I know the truth's in there, what am I going to debate? If you commented on it, and I read your comment, I could maybe make a comment, you know, a counter comment right. on something. But the whole idea of these verbal debates with people, it's evil. Yeah. And it's lowering yourself.
How many times?
They try to suck you into these debates. Oh, I mean, he doesn't want to debate. Oh, yeah. No, I don't want to debate you. No, I'm going to give you something to listen to. And if you want to refute me, you could. Mm-hmm. Then listen to this and then write something. I'm not going to debate you. You refute what you want. I mean, but see, it's like what you just read right there. And that's why I give people five key points when you're converting these people and you are talking to them. If they don't listen to that, what are you debating, like the Holy Eucharist, the Immaculate Conception, the papal infallibility? You know, why are you wasting your time? I gave like three or four arguments, and those are the ones we use all the time. How many who believed like you did exactly in the year 100, 200, 300, 400? Because according to you, right after Christ died and the last apostle died, the whole church fell apart.
Yeah.
So right after Peter, everybody after that, you had a pope right after him, and one another pope, and another pope, and there wasn't anybody at that time said there was no pope, like you guys say. Not one. Pope, 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 pope. So you mean Peter died, and then all of a sudden the next guy comes along and says, I'm a pope, I'm going to contradict what Peter said, and everybody kept following that contradiction. I mean, and it's not just about the pope, it's about every other door. The church fathers, unbroken line of them teaching about papal infallibility and the Holy Eucharist. They were all wrong. They're just bad. You know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. And don't waste your time with two-hour debates, five-hour debates. Let's talk about, you know, the Holy Eucharist, or talk about maybe deeper dogmas about the Holy Trinity. Mm-hmm. You're wasting your time if they don't listen to those few things that you tell them. Because, yeah. Here's the other thing you can tell them. When you're debating, it's a new thing I just thought. Here you go. If you don't believe the Catholic Church is infallible, then why am I even talking to you? Because you're not going to believe me. Mm-hmm. Why should you believe me? Yeah. You're not going to believe me. Because you're not infallible. I'm not infallible. None of us are infallible. So what are we doing here? We just bantering about opinions? That we're never going to know the difference? I'm not going to... If you see, it all bases upon papal infallible. If you don't believe the Church is infallible, I'm not even going to talk to you. Yeah. Why should I? Why should I quote an infallible papal teaching when you don't believe it's infallible? Yeah. I'm wasting my own time.
That's like when people don't believe in the Bible, too. Like, you can quote Bible verses
all
day long.
Yeah.
And they don't believe it.
If they don't believe, that's right. Yeah. If they don't believe it, you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
So we could be talking here for like 3 hours and say, hey, this is a nice philosophical argument. Yeah. You know, where we wrapped our minds around some knotty questions, some sublime things we said, but none of us know whether it's true or not.
Yeah.
And then he might say, oh, no, we know it's true, it's in the Bible. No, but you said you're not infallible.
Yeah.
You said you're not infallible. Somebody, oh, well, no, yeah, well, nah, nah. Well, so now you're infallible. So it's crazy.
Although they can be in the church and not even know it.
Yeah. Well, that's the invisible church.
Yeah. Isn't that
which they teach,
isn't
you know?
Isn't that the epitome of philosophy right there?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's all you're really doing is philosophizing. When you think about it, if you don't believe in infallibility, you're a philosopher.
Yes. Yeah. You're on your own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And really, I think basically, if you don't really attack the papal, the one church and papal infallibility first, why talk to the guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because then you could even show him the most convincing arguments. He's still going to say, you're not infallible.
But you are.
Yeah, but we are.
But you are the guy. The guy you're talking to.
No, but he's not either.
He thinks he is.
Yeah, no, you're right, he does.
Because he's making a decision about everything that is infallible.
You're absolutely right, yeah. And what is he basing it upon?
Yeah.
It's not infallible.
No.
So he could be wrong, too.
Yeah.
I said, so then, you know, so why are you even talking to me about anything? You know, really. Is it just a fun exercise?
Yeah.
It's like neat, like a Sherlock Holmes puzzle. Yeah. I like the Sherlock Holmes movie, you know, but, you know.
You might have a solution.
That's true. There's a solution.
I can think of how many conversations I've had that were totally one-sided. Yeah,
there's a bad guy, a good guy, you catch the crime.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's not even like Sherlock Holmes. It's just like pure, it's like philosophy. It's like a madhouse.
Yeah.
Really, philosophy is like going to a madhouse. Yeah. Where people are just bantering about opinions that don't even make sense.
God's going to tell us about that.
Babbling.
Right here, he's going to tell us about that. Okay. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I indeed am of Paul, and I am of Apollo, and I of Cephas, Peter, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul then crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in wisdom of speech, lest the cross of Christ should be made void. For the word of the cross, to them indeed that perish, is foolishness, but to them that are saved, that is, to us, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the prudence of the prudent I will reject. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?
That's one of my favorite verses in the whole New Testament.
Isn't that great?
Hath not God made foolish? And it is, when you turn on the TV and you look at all these self-help guys, these gurus, and you go, this guy's like, he's an idiot. Like, you're a fool. You stand on your head for 2 minutes, do the yoga thing, do this, and positive thinking. If we all get together and think that we want peace, peace will happen. And you're going like, is this, these are the guys you're listening to?
Yeah.
They're idiots.
Get crystals all around.
Like Sigmund Freud. I mean, that's such a beautiful verse.
Isn't it?
And you do. You got all these different self-help gurus, and you got the women, guys, how to be happy. And you got all these people sitting in the audience, husbands and wives, like statues. They look like mannequins or something like that. Sitting in the audience just mesmerized. Yeah. And I'm going to show you the secret to happiness. Happiness is when you try to feel sad, just say, be happy. And then smile, even though you don't want to smile. And make yourself smile. Say, smile. Be happy. And maybe eat something that you like. Maybe you like apple pie. Have an apple pie. Be happy. And I mean, and you listen to the guy, right? And they go home. They're happy for about like 3 hours. And then you start fighting like cats and dogs. I mean, it's the wisdom of the world. That's one of my favorite. That's beautiful. Philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's philosophy. Yeah. Philosophy is goofy.
Yeah.
It's stupid. Anybody who has common sense. You go, you guys, what? And what's the point when everyone keeps contradicting one another?
Don't worry, be happy.
Don't worry that you're going to hell. Just be happy.
And now I'm going to 1 Corinthians.
Until you end up in hell, and then you're very unhappy forever. Go ahead.
1:21. For seeing that in the wisdom of God, the world, by wisdom, know not God. It pleased God, by the foolishness of our preaching, to save them that believe. That's about belief.
What they perceive to be foolish is true wisdom.
Yeah.
And when they embrace it, then God opens up their mind, they can see the wisdom behind it. They can see all the reasons, the wisdom. You know, we always think to people, too, how bad will they are. You know something's wrong with mankind. Mm-hmm. If you got just natural law. We're sinners. We're rotten. We're corrupted. We die. Why? What's the answers? You know? And so, and if they don't honestly want to address those answers and they want to look beyond it, they think our faith is foolish. They create like a utopia that doesn't exist. Or that they can create one on their own without Christ, without redemption, without appeasing God's wrath, because they don't want to believe in God. So they start trying to create their own utopia. And they still die. They probably think like 20 generations from now they're going to finally achieve the utopia. That's when they can defrost Walt Disney. He's on ice right now, you know? Yeah. Walt Disney. He's waiting for the day when they come up with this discovery they can defrost his body. Yeah, but what about his soul? They got your soul on ice, don't they? The soul's in hell. That's where your soul is, Mr. Walt Disney. Here's another guy who's foolish, right?
Oh, yeah.
You call us foolish? You stupid jerk.
Yeah.
These utopians, humanists, philosophers,
Also, he's left a legacy. A lot of bad stuff goes on. Disney World and Disneyland.
Exactly. He's a Freemason.
Yeah.
But you can see what this guy, his, what he left, yeah. And he started a lot of this Peter Pan and fairies and Pinocchio.
Which we saw that Tinkerbell, you know, fair. Remember we saw that on your...
That fairy.
She's real.
And the paranormal. It's real. Yeah. It probably was talking to him. He probably had a whole house. He said, I got a bunch of fairies in here. We're talking about fags now. We're talking about the other kind of fairies. Flying around in his room. I got a fairy in every room. They keep me informed.
Yeah.
And they do. Imagine that. You imagine? With the people that are really evil, they communicate with the other world.
Yeah.
Devils, damned humans. The paranormal thing is very powerful. And these guys are being deluded by these devils and damned humans. They're lying to them. I can see the fairy going, cryogenic freezing. If you just freeze your body for 20 years, your soul stays in it. But you got, and they told them, you got to freeze it right away before the soul leaves.
Yeah.
If the soul's in there, when they freeze it, your soul gets locked in there.
Yeah.
And see, because this is the way
it works. That's what they think.
Yeah, let me tell you. Look, I know what I'm talking about. So you got to freeze them within maybe 1 hour after you die, okay? And so the soul's locked in it. The soul, not gonna. We got your soul in it. It didn't leave. You're just frozen. You're just on ice. Now, when we develop scientific technology and we can bring your life body back to life, or maybe we can get another body and we can find a way to transport your soul that's trapped in your frozen body through some type of a transmutation mechanism, we can transport that soul into a new body. You know, or we can bring back your other body.
We'll suck it out
with a pump, and we can move it into this new body.
There's only one problem with that theory.
Yeah.
They don't believe in a soul.
For the most part, I
don't know.
Well, they believe in a life hereafter, a lot of people. Not everybody, but your atheist doesn't believe in the soul. He believed in, why would he freeze himself if he didn't believe he's going to come back?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So anyway, that was your wisdom of the world right there. Did that sound pretty? Now, that would sound smart to somebody who doesn't have the faith. Somebody might bite what I just said. If you don't have the faith. Yeah. They're going to watch, they're going to quote me out of context. My friend, look what he's teaching.
They will.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to say.
Go ahead.
Some people say his early films were not as bad as the newer ones. The newer ones are worse, but he took his stories from the Brothers Grimm's novels, and they are like really distorted stories. Like I know the ones he did were bad, but they were really, really bad in the Brothers Grimm. But it's almost like when the nominal Catholic philosophers were quoting Plato and they're making excuses.
Yes.
Oh, we'll take out the bad. You know, that kind of thing. And it makes some people think, oh, wait, Brothers Grimm, that must be really good because Disney made these films. Let's read into this stuff, you know.
Yeah, it was like mythology, Tom, brother TJ. It's like mythology.
Yeah.
It contained all these mythological stories, these fantastical creatures. It's like mythology. And he glorified it. And it was earlier stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not just his new stuff. You had the Cinderella and the Seven Dwarfs.
Oh,
you got Peter Pan. You got the Twinkle Bird. You got Pinocchio with the nose grown.
Yeah.
You got all these supernatural, preternatural stories that he's telling.
And my parents said, could care less that we watched that.
The Mary Poppins movie, that's about feminism. They have to find the kids the perfect nanny that will stay while the mother goes out and does her like feminist suffragette work, you know.
Yes, exactly. Very good. And she was Superwoman too. Because she flew.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right. That was exactly. And because the feminism is one of the keys of the Freemasons and the devil to turn society upside down. Feminism. Because when you get the woman out of the house and she's the boss, it destroys the whole society of the world. Everything's gone. The husband's not the head of the house. The kids rule up here. Everyone's gone. The whole nuclear family. Everything explodes. Feminism is one of her big bullseye. And Mary Poppins was big on that. Mm-hmm. And also she was like Superwoman too. Didn't she fly with that?
Yeah,
umbrella.
And we all watched that. I didn't like it so much, but I liked it a little. I watched it. Shitty, Shitty, Bang, Bang. Remember that one?
Shitty, Shitty,
Bang, Bang. Was it Shitty, Shitty, Bang, Bang or Shitty, Shitty, Bang, Bang? Were the cars flying? Remember that? And Dick Van Dyke?
Yeah.
Come on, look at the crap we grew up with.
Yeah.
A flying car?
Yeah.
You may as well have a witch on a broom. I mean, what the heck is the difference?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not a witch on a broom. It's like the Dick Van Dyke with his family in a car. Just put a broom in there and we got, like, the real story.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Our parents are Catholic? They were Catholic? They're so far from being Catholic, the Santa Claus thing we all, I mean, that's, and you want to sit back and say we were Catholic? That I'm the true God, there's no God besides me, and believe what I teach and not what the devil's telling you?
Well, it's amazing, they believe in the Bible, but they, I mean, they don't believe in the Bible, but they go believe in all this stuff.
That's exactly it. When you fall away from God, you believe in the most absurd, stupid, silly, or diabolical things that are real and diabolical, or just silly things.
Yeah, we're trying to listen to some Christmas music. You need to get one or two good ones. Yeah. You need to get about three Santa Claus ones. Oh. You know, that's all you get, Santa Claus.
What was that one? Not really, Grandmother and Santa. I don't know. They got the Grandma and the Santa Claus.
Santa got ran over.
Grandma
got ran over.
I was waiting
for Santa Claus.
Not too soon for me, Shorty. Exactly. I wish they killed the bastard. It doesn't even exist, you know. Anybody up for Santa, we should kill him.
We called a neighbor, we light a big fire in our place, so he burns his ass, and he goes
out. Yeah, Brian's neighbors believed in Santa Claus. Yeah. It was the Seventh Day Adventist, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so what'd you tell him, Ryan?
Yeah, Dad called me. What'd you say, Dad?
I told him we light a big fire, you know, so Santa can't come down, you know, our chimney. and the funny thing was this Tom, he's about 96 years old, he goes, real seriously, I never heard anybody say that before.
dear, that was blasphemy. Blasphemy! Yeah. He's talking against Santa Claus.
He was serious.
Think about how evil the worlds we're living in. The Disney stuff only got worse, but it was bad right from the beginning. Maybe even more seductive in the beginning. Because he's neat, cute little
I was just going to say, yeah, because it's so friendly and the production quality is the highest standard. And you just know that means Satan has this at the top of his list because it's converting the children.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, all of this stuff. That's the most evil stuff. Santa. That's the most evil stuff because it's getting at the children.
Yeah. Exactly. And guess what? We're those children.
Yeah.
I watched all that stuff. Yeah. I was a corrupted kid. Look, now, you know, I say, wow, no wonder why I was all messed up. True.
Yeah.
My life got all messed up. Why I was living like a pagan. My marriage didn't work out. All this is messed up. All things went wrong in my life. Why? What do you mean, why? You know? We all bit that bullet. And once he gets you, to fall away from the faith, and we never had it to start with.
That's right.
So let's say we never had it, immorality jumps in.
Amen.
Even when you're, look, even before the usury, I wrote that in my book about a God didn't create men to be sinners, to be homos or whatever, or adulterers or any kind of sinner. So you get these demons of lust, homo demon, adultery demon, thieving demon, murdering demon, whatever your sin is, they can get you when you're an infant. Because your parents aren't abiding by the, or especially if you're an apostate Catholic, you get a special curse. So that demon comes in you. And as soon as you tend to use the reason, you already got the demon in you. And he's giving you these thoughts and these inspirations of sin. And that's how he enters in. Yeah. And if you didn't get the kids when they're that young, you get someone to use the reason, start watching these shows, and then you're cemented in your apostasy. Cemented. It's beyond comprehension when you think about all the stuff we looked at. I Dream of Jeannie. Bewitched, the Addams Family, the Munsters. Are you kidding me?
What the hell? Jews knew what they're up to. Really?
They did. Yeah. Yeah. You want to watch a true monster movie? Look at The Exorcism. Look at the right movie. Look at the real ugly monsters that tell you the truth. The truth is stranger than fiction. There's enough ugly stuff in another world that'll put these horror movies to shame. Yeah. They had to show us this other myth, false, or glorifying. Even witches are not false.
Yeah.
They actually glorified the witch. And all these ones, the witches were glorified.
I just saw on a Wizard of Oz. The Hallmark Channel, The Good Witch.
That was Brady's wife. The Good Witch. She's a good witch. There's only one good witch. It's a sandwich.
Yeah. There you go.
A sandwich. By the time you say, sandwich. Give me a sandwich. A little sausage. A nice tatana sausage. Not a mushy one,
but you
gotta get the real one.
Just thinking, you remember in your book on the heresies against confirmation, was it, I'm just guessing, was it around the 1900s that it got very bad? Because it might be the reason why these demonic children's problems came in.
Yeah, very interesting.
They weren't being protected.
I gotta check that, but you're right. Because what they did was, it was first the Renaissance Church and the Great Apostasy that started to take away our weapons of warfare and the graces we needed to withstand all this. And that's, think about what TJ's saying right there, Brother TJ. That's a big, tremendous blow. Now, if you have a kid that's of goodwill and it's not his fault, being a layman, they don't know the deeper dogma confirmation, I still think God would protect them. If it came, let's say if it started in the 1700s or the 1800s. But I it's in my book. I tell you, one of you guys, you can go right now and check when I say it started. That would be interesting to find out as a research.
Which book now?
Basic Dogmas Regarding Confirmation in the Holy Eucharist. Basic Dogmas and Heresies. Basic Dogmas and Heresies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have it open. In the Some Dogmas of Heresy Regarding Confirmation, dogmas start between 33, 12th century, and then in the 13th century it says 7 years old. But I don't see anything when it started to become 13 years old. It's probably
Oh, I got
in
you.
There somewhere.
Yeah. That's the really bad, yeah. When you have the use of reason for, like, I know what you're saying, TJ, that might have came in the 19th century. Maybe. Yeah, but that would be interesting. I have it in there. It's in the book. And I do. I go over it in there. But when you kid, you better be confirmed. At least you're supposed to be confirmed when you're a kid, even. Because you get those graces as a child, even.
Yeah.
You're being protected as an infant without the use of reason with the confirmational graces. So even then, you're behind the eight ball. But you really get behind the eight ball after you attain the use of reason, and you can go out and commit a mortal sin or a venial sin, and you're living that way all these years without confirmation, without those extra graces you need to fortify you. And everyone falls. The devil got you out on that one right there. Grace, which is the beginning of everything. And so then that's why the parents, that's one of the reasons. Not the only, because you can still have the grace and deny it, even when they did have confirmation. But that just is a guarantee. It's like a guaranteed loss.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Massive loss.
Yeah, I found it. Found it just there. It says, page 31, more heretical and harmful is the law that baptized Catholic children are not to be confirmed until they're over 7 years, such as when they're 10 or 13 years or older. This heretical law was in effect when I was confirmed in 1966, when I was 10 years old. What follows is the photocopy of my confirmation. Then you go into U.S. law of 16 years old. So it was about the 60s.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting what you're saying here. Well, there. That's an interesting point right there. Because, you know, from that point forward, it all hell broke loose. All right? And so what we're saying here is now, at least even before that, when it wasn't great, they confirmed you when you were 7 years old or when you attained the use of reason. Which still wasn't good, but you didn't have the use of reason. And you're still going to have negative effects. But when you attain the use of reason and you're living like 7 years with the use of reason without confirmation or graces to fortify you, you're dead. You're dead. It's over. You don't got the grace of God there to help you. I mean, if you didn't have no priests, let's say like in Japan for 200 years, God will give you those confirmational graces in a miraculous way without a bishop. God will do that for you. But if it's a heresy that enters in and they're not doing it purposely, and you have a bishop and they're not doing it as part of the law, you're dead. You're dead. You're gone. Everything's all down. He's talking about the 1960s, right? What are we talking about when all these shows started to become big time?
60s.
Yeah.
And after.
It's almost like taking away the grace of God. And without God's grace, you can't do anything good with a good motive.
Yeah.
Not with an ultimately good end or good motive.
Devil's
when it comes
devil.
To the thing. Right?
Yeah.
And it, all you had was maybe some natural graces, but you didn't have the supernatural graces to live the Catholic life. Which requires all the belief in all the things we're talking about here, and the rejection of all these evil things, and it's interesting. And I think from that point forward, you can even make a point like, you know, I don't know if anybody was saved from 1960 forward, unless it's an extreme miracle.
Yeah.
Remember, somebody was even teaching that the gates of heaven were closed from they used the Vatican Council, you know, 60s forward, you know, could be. I mean, I'm not saying. I will say they're closed though, and I tell you who has more chance to convert on their deathbed. a conservative Protestant or a conservative Muslim or a conservative, or more than a nominal Catholic. Nominal Catholic will have the worst deathbed conversion thing. You get some conservative Protestants that are scandalized and they're pretty good on a lot of points, they may have a better chance than your nominal Catholics.
Yeah. How many of us have talked to a Protestant and got somewhere, but not a Cap, not
the
a traditional Catholic?
The Protestants are the only ones that are condemning Halloween and Bewitched. The we're doing it. Nominal Catholics don't do it. Yeah. SSP 10 doesn't do it.
Yeah.
They don't preach even. Yeah. For them, no, really, it's true, because they didn't have the confirmational dogmas or doctrines. We did and rejected them. Yeah. Better not to have had than to have had and turn back on me. 2 Peter 2:20.
Yeah.
See what you started, Bruce.
It's
good. It's finishing.
Yeah, every page you open up to is full of the truth.
Is it? It's true.
And how you can ignore it is incomprehensible to me. But it happens.
And I know.
The world mostly ignored it.
Yeah,
and people hating it and casting aspersions on it constantly. Like, what are they reading? What do they got to substitute?
It's like
Harry Potter.
It's like spitting out a sirloin steak and eating crap. That's what it's like. It's like God's offering you the best wine, and you're drinking mud. I mean, He's offering you the best wine, and you don't want it.
Hey, especially during the season when you see that little baby in the cradle, and you think He's your Creator and your Savior, and saying, "Come to the world." What a story! How could you not believe that story?
Yes, there's the story.
Yeah,
you know, truth is stranger than fiction. You got all these fictions they try to tell people, but when you learn the truth, that's the true story. It's deeper and more, even the devil, even the horror stuff. The devil is more horrible than anything you commit. When you see this, tell the truth about the devil. Show the horror of the devil. Show the glory of God. Show the beauty of His truth. Show what He's teaching. God becoming man. When you read this, God coming down from earth and taking on a human nature. Because as an infant, because He wants to have a mother who loves Him to redeem us, a loving God, and also a God who kicks your ass and is powerful because He's just and He wants to protect His children. It's true. It's like when you watch a movie, what makes it sometimes a little better is they go, "This is a true movie. This is based upon a true movie."
Yeah. Yeah.
And you go, "Wow." Some movies aren't true, but there could be true. Like fictions, and they're good fictions, too. They're good fictions. But usually when you say, "This is based upon true facts," and you go, "Hey, well, there it is."
Yeah.
You guys want to know the ultimate, there it is. Yeah. And it's beautiful beyond beauty.
Yeah.
And the first question you want to ask the Jew, too. Do you believe God's almighty and all-powerful? Hashem? Do you believe He's all-powerful? He can do whatever He wants? He can do all things? Yes. Mm-hmm. If God wanted to become a man, could He, if He wanted to, could He take on a human? No. Well, then He can't do all things. Why not? He created the human being. Why can't He take on that nature Himself? If He wanted to. Why not? See how bad-willed they are?
Yeah. That reminded me of a verse I had read yesterday also. You know, for all of these truths that I have done before you, which one of those do you convict me of?
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And good works, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which of those
which
do you
one
convict
am I guilty
me of?
Yeah. Yeah. Which one of my good words or good works that I've said are wrong or bad?
Yeah.
That you come here to kill me, when I came here to give you life everlasting, happiness, joy. Exactly. It's power-hungry monsters that want to have the power, the money, the vanity, the pride. They want to be God. They don't want no one to tell them what to do. They want to be the big kahuna. Isn't a kahuna some Hawaiian thing?
Yeah.
It's like a Hawaiian god.
Big
kahuna.
Leader.
Yeah, big kahuna.
The head of the mafia in Hawaii.
The mafia guys are kahunas. They're godfathers.
Yeah.
The kahunas are a Hawaiian godfather.
Yeah.
I am the kahuna.
Chief pineapple.
Chief pineapple. I am the chief pineapple. All right, we're almost
just a
done.
Few more. For both the Jews require signs and the Greeks seek after wisdom.
There you go. That's exactly
yeah.
That whole verse about it.
Yeah.
He's specifically talking about the philosophers.
That's right.
They're goofy.
Yeah.
I mean, as goofy as goof can be.
Yep.
But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews indeed a stumbling block, and unto the Gentiles foolishness.
Yep.
This philosopher, he's talking about all these things that make no sense, complete insanity. And he can't plow a field or plant a garden. You know, yeah. I mean, or you
simple
can do some practice.
Like, what?
Yeah, what is... Anyway.
For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But the foolish things of the world hath God chosen, that he may confound the wise. And the weak things of this world hath God chosen, that he may confound the strong.
Absolutely. So when they look at like only 10 of us in the church,
yeah.
Or like Will said, that, oh, well, no, I didn't mention your name, but she said, how many of you have in your church? And Will said, four more than were on the ark, the Noah's ark. Yeah. But we got more than that now. We have a few more. So I know they go, ah, you weak! Look at the house he's living in. He's 67 years old.
The leader of the church
is living
in that shack. Yeah,
look at him. He's looking at him. What kind of God is this, you know? Yeah. Yeah, he did with Abraham and his motley crew, 72, and they went into Egypt.
Christ was born in the stable.
Christ was born in the stable. Like it says with the three wise men. Mm-hmm. You know, how beautiful when they venerated Christ. He came in simplicity and humility. Mm-hmm. All right.
And the base things of the world and the things that are contemptible hath God chosen. And the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are. So that's, you know... Question of things that he created, and what about all the things that he's got store for us?
Yeah.
You know, that we haven't even contemplated yet.
Yeah, like St. Paul says, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can even contemplate or imagine how great heaven is.
No.
And the new paradise to come.
No. But if God's there and he's going to be there forever,
yeah.
Ooh.
And that's your reward.
It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's beyond our imagination. Just as hell's beyond our imagination is the pain.
Yeah.
It's beyond our imagination. What it could be like. But it's true, people want to deny it, but that's the reward. All right?
A couple more. No, two more. That no flesh should glory in his sight. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and justice and sanctification and redemption.
Did he just say Christ Jesus is wisdom? I thought they said Aristotle and Plato. Hey, Ratman, come on back up for a second. Hey, Ratman! Christ is wisdom, not Aristotle and Plato.
Yeah.
What do you think now? Oh, wait a second. What? You're with Aristotle and Plato right now. Cicero, you're burning together right now. Are you having a nice philosophical conversation? You should have. Yeah.
I wonder whose philosophy will win over.
Yeah. He's in the philosopher level.
Yeah.
Hey, come here. Are they perfecting you now?
He's yelling out, hey, I listened to you.
I listened to you bastards.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're, I wonder if they still believe they're going to be free from hell.
Hey, what do you think now, Ratman?
Yeah, they got the Summa right there.
Tell us, Ratman. What do you think now? And the other one, who's the one that denies, this Pope, he doesn't even believe it. He says, no, there isn't hell. He says, you don't go to hell, you just disappear.
Yeah.
Ratman, yeah, bitch, do you believe that one also?
Ask him if he's down there. You know, ask Ratman, the guy that, you know, down there that disappeared.
Wow. Yeah.
You
don't
have to watch too many series of Bewitched.
Yeah. He's down here with the, all the apostate anti-popes.
Yeah.
With Judas.
Yeah.
At the head of all the betrayers.
Yeah.
Okay, this is from Jeremiah. Although this is from 1 Corinthians that I wrote it down, but it came from Jeremiah. That as it is written, he that glorieth may glory in the Lord.
And so we end. Thank you, Brother Bruce.
Amen.
For hitting us with that Bible verse. See verse, what she started?
Verse says.
We know, we give the people.
I can't never just write down a couple.
We give the people an idea what it's like when we daily read this. It's true. Like when you read the scriptures daily, you can just write books on a couple of scriptures. You start writing and thinking, and it's beautiful, isn't it?
You just contemplate one verse and you can think about it all day.
It's beautiful. Beautiful. Anyway, the true wisdom of God. Right, so name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, you can stop it now.